I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. And then from Galatians. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Amen.
My water bottle doesn't fit. Let me figure out. There we go. Okay. Good morning. So it's great to be here with you guys today. Last Sunday was my first Sunday back in 3 weeks. And as you know, David's on sabbatical. So 2 weeks ago, we actually went down to Kenai and we were hiking on the Resurrection Pass Trail with them. And I was joking that people were going to think that the Rozelles were on sabbatical with him because we had all been gone for that same amount of time so far. It was really great to spend time hiking with them and to see David super relaxed. And he'll be back at work soon. He's actually on his way back from a wedding right now. And I know that we all pray that God gave him the rest that he needed during this time, and that God will continue to fill his cup when he comes back. So we have been working through the sermon series on Galatians from Pastor Peter, and I've been really drawn as I've been listening to the idea of our identity in Christ and how that relates to Galatians 5, particularly this section that we just read on the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, if you would pray with me. Creator God, thank you for bringing us here this morning to worship you. Thank you for the music and for the rituals of the offering and the prayer time that draw us to you each week. As we begin to explore the lessons from your word, I pray that your spirit would guide and that each of our hearts would be open to what you want them to hear this morning. In your son's name we pray this. Amen. So, a couple of years ago, Brian printed posters for all of the kids' bedrooms that read, "You are a beloved child of God, created in God's image to love God forever." And as of this week, we now have 3 teenagers in our home. So happy birthday to Sarah. And we have been approaching these years for a little while now, and we have prayed that this message of their identity would be sealed onto their hearts and into their minds to protect them from all the lies that Satan would tell them. Last Sunday, Pastor Peter was talking about all of the temptations that Satan sets out before us and the lies that he tells us to lure us into sin. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And in Ephesians 6:12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What I have seen in others, and what I have experienced in myself, is that Satan's best attacks on us are when he can attack our identity. Jesus says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when Satan attacks our identity, he can often be very successful in that. He accuses us without merit. He points his finger at us, and he tells us that we are bad or that we're unworthy. And when we forget our identity in Christ, we begin to believe these lies. So this morning, we're going to look at some of those accusations or lies that we've been told about our identity. We're going to examine how this feeds the works of the flesh that Paul describes in Galatians 5:19 through 21. And then we'll contrast that with the truth about our identity in Christ and how that grows the fruit of the Spirit. One of the most powerful lies that I think that we all encounter on a regular basis is that we are not good enough. Many of us here spend time on social media, and we look at the very best moments of other people's lives when they post pictures on Facebook or Instagram. When we look at these pictures, we may realize that we're not quite as cool, we're not quite as important, we're not as innovative as maybe these other people are. And then we go to visit a neighbor or a friend, and we see that perfectly clean house or their perfectly well-behaved children, and then we just kind of hope and pray that they don't actually see the mess that we believe that we are. Another lie that the world tells us over and over and over again is that we aren't successful enough. Maybe we don't have enough money. We haven't moved up in our job enough. We have these seeds of discontentment that Satan plants, and it leads us to doubt our worth and ability to achieve the things that we think are the markers of success in this world. And then with these lies in hand, Satan tells us that we're alone and that no one understands us. Last week, we read in Galatians that the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. When we buy into those lies that Satan sets before us, we do exactly what Paul says not to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We quench the Spirit. We silence the voice that pushes us to the truth about who we are, and instead, we're driven to the acts of the flesh that Paul describes in today's text. It's our natural inclination to make ourselves want to feel better. So, when we feel that we're not good enough, we often numb ourselves to these feelings with things like sexual immorality, idolatry, and drunkenness. When we feel that we're not successful enough, we become jealous, envious, filled with hate towards those who we maybe perceive are making it. And when we feel alone and that no one understands us, we can dive really deep into self-pity and anger, and we allow those works of the flesh to just overcome us. The truth is, however, that when we believe in God and we accept the gift of salvation given to us by Christ's death on the cross, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit and we have a new identity. So when we hear that we're not good enough, the Holy Spirit reminds us that God created us in his own image with greatness and purpose. He reminds us that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And when we hear that we're not successful enough, the Holy Spirit reminds us that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared us in advance to do, and that we should set our minds on the things above, not here on the earthly things. And when we feel alone, the Holy Spirit reminds us that he created us in our mother's womb. He knows our innermost thoughts and feelings. He walks with us through the valleys of darkness. He encourages us to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid, to not be discouraged, for the Lord our God goes with us wherever we go. Instead of quenching the Spirit, when we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify those works of the flesh. So, then how do we walk by the Spirit? I would like to suggest three things. First, we spend daily time in prayer. As I look around the church here, I see some of you who I know casually, and I see some of you who I know well. Those of you who I know casually, we would all say that we know each other. You know, we would greet each other at Fred's. We would exchange pleasantries. We would know just those surface things about each other. But we don't know each other's favorite foods. And we don't know the things that we really struggle with in life and the things that are really happy or that make us really sad. Some of you here, though, we do know, you know, I know deeply, and there's others of you that you're sitting next to that you know in this really deep way. As I mentioned before, we were hiking and literally walking with David and Brenna 2 weeks ago as we were down in Kenai. And as we were walking, we took time on that walk to share about our joys, things that we were really happy about. We talked about struggles, we talked about heartaches, and we reminded each other that we were not alone in those struggles. And through sharing stories, we affirmed that the hard things are overcome with the help from God, with time, with patience, and with love. Walking with David and Brenna, we experienced what happens when we walk with the Holy Spirit. We can acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We can say, yes, he dwells within us. But to walk with the Spirit requires that we spend the time in prayer, that we share our joys, that we share our burdens. Second, we want to spend time in God's Word. In Psalm 119, it says that David had hidden God's Word away in his heart so he would not sin against him. This past winter, we had a really challenging parenting issue that came up in our house. And as we talked through this issue with our child, I was really impressed with the way that Brian was able to recall God's word so clearly. And he used it in this situation to bring truth. He didn't do it in a browbeating way, but he used it really lovingly, really firmly, and correctively. And just as we do this with our children, when we spend time in God's word, we allow the Holy Spirit to do this for us. Sin often feels really good in the moment that we're participating in it, right? Rage and anger can feel like this really welcome release in the heat of the moment, but it comes with a heavy, heavy price of guilt and grief and resentment. Instead, when we walk with the Holy Spirit through reading and learning God's word, there is a tremendous freedom that comes from the fruit of the Spirit that grows. Patience and peace become those touch points instead of rage and anger. And all of that is completely guilt-free. Finally, we have to be disciplined and obedient. James tells us in chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, "Do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the mirror, looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." We can pray all day, we can memorize God's words diligently, but we must also take that next step to be doers of the word, as James says. I love what he also says about looking intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continuing in it, being blessed in what we do. There is so much freedom that comes in following Christ and in walking with him. And as we begin to walk with the Spirit in that obedience, we begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit that can outpour then all of that fruit to those around us. In conclusion, I want to come back to the title of the message, which was Walking by the Spirit and Our Identity in Christ. and that poster that Brian put up in all of the bedrooms. You are a beloved child of God. You are created in God's image to love God forever. When we remember and we trust that, we're taking that very first step in walking with the Spirit, which will yield the truth. I love how perfectly we see God's image in the fruit of the Spirit. God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Being created in His image means that we can be these things when we walk by the Spirit. God wants us to have a life here on earth that's abundant in this fruit. He gave us the perfect example of what that would look like in Jesus, who walked daily with the Spirit. Jesus loved us so much that He gave His life for us. He brought joy and peace into broken lives. He was patient with Peter as he learned very clunkily how to become a disciple. He showed really deep kindness to friends and enemies alike. He was good when He fed the 10,000 and He healed lepers. He was faithful when He was tempted in the desert. He was gentle to the woman at the well as He gave her freedom from the bonds of sin. And He showed self-control as He could have fought back against those who persecuted Him. It's true that Jesus was God, and we are certainly not. But as believers, we have a living God inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so all of these fruits are available to us when we remember our identity, that we are beloved children of God, created in His image, and when we are walking with the Spirit. So please pray with me. Father God, You are an amazing Creator. Thank You for loving us, for giving us the Holy Spirit. Help us not to quench Your Spirit, but instead to walk with Your Spirit each of our days, to be a light to those around us, reflecting Your goodness to a broken world. Protect us from the lies that Satan tells us by helping us to remember daily that we are Your beloved children, created in Your image, and that You want us to experience a full life giving glory to You. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.